This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at how Christmas shoppers in Chicago are looking at next February's primary. It's closer than we may think. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580 meteorologist Jay Searles. First, today's news. The developers of the $1.8 billion Future Gen power plant project say they're in the dark about federal government objections to the cost. Power and coal companies who are planning the low-pollution plant with the Energy Department were surprised Tuesday when the agency raised its concerns. That's the same day that developers announced they wanted to build in Mattoon. Now the developers say they'll still need more government okay, but have no idea when that will come. An Energy Department spokeswoman declined comment, except to say the agency will say more about its concerns and possibly restructuring the Future Gen project next month. The department last week complained the developers were moving too fast on the project. An upcoming study will give researchers a taste of just how a main feature of Future Gen will work. If and when the $1.8 billion facility is built in Mattoon, it'll take the carbon dioxide given off by coal burning and store it deep underground instead of letting it off into the atmosphere. The Department of Energy is providing $67 million to set up a similar project using CO2 from Decatur's Archer Daniels Midland plant. Bill Schultz, who heads the Illinois State Geological Survey, says the sequestration project will inject an amount of liquefied CO2 on the same scale as Future Gen.
We want to work out how we go about that in the most efficient way. And then we want to monitor what happens and so that we can answer people who say, isn't this going to leak, or how fast is it going to move away? Is it going to cause changes in the rock that are going to be felt at the surface, all those sorts of things.
Schultz says the geology more than a mile underneath Illinois may have given the state a critical edge to win the Future Gen project. But sequestering gas is not a new technology. It's already used with natural gas stored at a massive underground storage facility north of Mahomet. Federal budget cuts are threatening hundreds of jobs at Batavia's Fermilab. The U.S. Senate passed the cuts on Tuesday, and the House could vote on them this week. If passed, Fermilab will receive $62 million less than it had planned for. The lab's director, Pierre Audonet, says the cuts have had a lasting effect.
In terms of what's in the future for the country, in terms of science and inspiring people to ask the kind of questions that we do about nature, about the universe, and so on, it's a pretty devastating blow.
Audonet says the money could be used for new and ongoing projects. He says the cuts would put the lab in the worst financial situation it's been in its 40-year history. Illinois' House Republican leader says there's still time for Democratic legislative leaders and the governor to settle their differences and agree on a capital spending plan. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
Tom Cross spoke Wednesday outside of the University of Illinois' Lincoln Hall, for which the U of I has sought renovations for several years. He says any capital bill that passes would include the $55 million necessary for the work. Such a package would include a new casino in Chicago, new casino jobs, as well as slots at racetracks. Cross says many lawmakers in all corners of the state are urging for the measure's passage.
Whether you're at Lincoln Hall or whether you're in Chicago looking at the need for more trains or improved tracks, or you're in Southern Illinois or Western, the needs are there. So I think most members, if not all the General Assembly members, want a capital bill. Bottom line is bringing some finality to it, is we've got to work through a few areas that we don't have consensus and put aside some personality differences we have, and I think we can do that.
Cross says right now, the governor, House Speaker Michael Madigan, and Senate President Emil Jones are unwilling to sit in the room. He calls January 20th the drop-dead date for agreeing to a capital plan. That's when Chicago area mass transit is forced to shut down lines, hike fares, and lay off workers. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A state of Illinois analysis finds gambling expansion would cut into the profit margins of some existing riverboat casinos. Sean Crawford has that story.
The study found casinos pocket a certain amount of money from each slot machine or gaming table in the state. But when there are more options for gamblers, such as additional casinos or slots at racetracks, each gaming position becomes a bit less valuable. Eric Noggle with the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability calls it dilution.
Some of our estimates have like a 20% dilution, some go all the way up to 35-40%, depending on how many more additional positions are going to be added in.
Noggle says the positions would still be moneymakers, just not to the level casinos are accustomed. The study gives Illinois political leaders a better idea of how much money they could expect if they vote to expand gambling. A proposal before the legislature would allow several new casinos, including one in Chicago, permit current ones to expand, and allow slots at racetracks. The study also estimates Illinois could benefit from strategically placed Chicago-area casinos that would limit gamblers from leaving the state for Indiana gaming sites. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Champaign County Board met behind closed doors this week to discuss the $50,000 fine it's facing because of last-minute alterations at the new county nursing home. The State Health Facilities Planning Board recommends the fine. It says the county failed to get proper permission from the board for changes it made last year to fix a faulty ventilation system at the nursing home. County Board Chairman Pius Weibel says the county is looking at strategies to lessen the impact of that fine. He says they could try to negotiate a smaller fine or offer public services such as health services for the elderly in lieu of payment. Weibel says looking at those options doesn't mean they believe the fine is justified.
We don't think we should be fined $50,000 at all. However, the reality is they are planning to do that. They've indicated they plan to do that. So we have to deal with reality, and that's what we're trying to do.
Champaign County is appealing the $50,000 fine, and it's seeking a hearing before the Health Facilities Planning Board to make its case. Weibel says the earliest possible hearing would be held in mid-January. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois is one of a bunch of states that have bumped up the date of their primary elections. Because of all the reshuffling, it'll be just 2 days after New Year's that Iowa voters hold their caucuses to kick things off. One thing's for sure, the reshuffled primary schedule has shoved more of the frenzy of the political season into the middle of the holiday season. Amid all the worrying about last-minute shopping and which relatives to stick on the hide-a-bed, we wondered what people are thinking about the upcoming presidential primaries. So Illinois Public Radio's Ben Calhoun headed into downtown Chicago into the thick of the holiday crowds.
On a recent afternoon on State Street, holiday shoppers were swarming over the sidewalk outside the former Marshall Fields building. The sun was out, the temperature had snuck above freezing, and the snow was melting. The crowd was a mix: city residents, suburbanites who'd come downtown to shop, and a solid stream of tourists. It seemed like a good place to talk to people about the primaries, and that's where I bumped into Marvin Gordon.
Going over to the Crystal Kindle Market and having lunch.
Gordon said, almost without thinking, that he had his candidate.
Obama?
Gordon was one of a bunch of people who fit into what a recent newspaper poll found. That poll showed, as expected, U.S. Senator Barack Obama's support is pretty solid here in his home state. Gordon said he'd made up his mind so early and was so sure he hadn't even followed the campaign.
I don't watch it.
No?
I don't, no, because my decision is already made. Whatever goes on there won't affect what I'm going to do myself.
Not that that was universal. Some of Obama's hometown supporters say they think the campaign's changed him, which bothers them. Still, the locked-in hometown crowd was the biggest group on State Street. But there were other contingents out, too.
The election doesn't cut the mustard. The primaries don't cut the mustard. None of them cut the mustard.
Greg Hilsheimer and his wife Sabrina were among the second big contingent of people out that afternoon. The Hilsheimers are both Republicans, who like Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee. But like a lot of people that afternoon, they said they were disgusted by the election, from how long it's been going on to the candidates themselves.
It's just all marketing and pizzazz. They'll say anything to get in office. Now, I'm not alone in that. If you do polls of the average person, they all feel the same way. They want them all out, every one of them. I know I do, both parties.
The Hilsheimers exemplified another trend on the street that day. The issues that people are voting on are shifting. While the Hilsheimers put socially conservative values and environmental concerns at the top of their list, they've put the war further down. A while ago, the war was the big issue, but that's changing. That's a trend the media's been tracking on a national level, and one the campaign seemed to be responding to. It's also one I heard from both Republicans and Democrats.
Well, it is important, but you gotta take care of home.
Suzanne Brost was downtown, not to talk politics, but to cross the last item off her holiday shopping list.
Gotta find pajama pants with pockets for my mother-in-law.
If you are Suzanne Brost's mother-in-law, you should know, at least as of Tuesday, it was not looking good for you. Anyway, Brost is an undecided Democrat, but like the Hilsheimers, she said the war has become less important for her. She's more concerned about domestic issues, like the economy.
That's what being a president is about here. It's about the U.S. You gotta take care of your own first.
But right around the same time I talked to Brost, someone else took issue with that. Teresa Kirby said for her, the war is a domestic issue.
I have a brother-in-law and a good friend of mine out in Iraq, so I just want to bring them home safe.
Kirby says she's a Republican who so far likes Rudy Giuliani. She talked to me about her brother-in-law in Iraq and how she'd sent him a care package for the holidays.
I think it's time to start sending those guys home. They have families. I see how it affects them, their families, when they come home, and I just hope that they're treated fairly when they get back.
What Kirby pointed out is that even if people are talking about it less, the war directly affects everyone in the country. By the end of the afternoon, there were several overarching trends. You had the shifting voter priorities, like the war. You had Obama's home state support. Aside from that, the big theme was indecision. People have candidates who they like, but not a final pick. That, and there seemed to be a general tilt towards the Democrats.
Favor the Democrats because the Republicans made a mess out of the last 8 years.
Jeff Scott's a teacher from South Carolina, one of the coveted early primary states. He describes himself as a swing voter.
So I don't vote party lines.
But Scott says he's been leaning towards the Democrats, Senator Hillary Clinton, but Obama in particular, because he thinks he could change the direction of the country, especially on foreign policy.
My wife's Brazilian. I travel internationally a lot. And I've watched the decline of the American image. And I think maybe it's going to take us being a little more open-minded to get people to accept us back into the world community.
Scott says he'll vote in his home state of South Carolina, which wraps up both its primaries in just 37 days. That's just 10 days before Illinois voters have to make their final decisions and cast their ballots. I'm Ben Calhoun.
Did you ever have to make up your mind and pick up on one and leave? Not often easy and not often kind. Did you ever have to make up your mind?
A little rain may fall on us today, possibly a slightly bigger storm coming our way this weekend, according to our meteorologist Jay Searles. For today, he's calling for a mostly cloudy sky with increasing threats for showers and possibly thunderstorms, mainly for central to southern sections of Illinois and Indiana, and highs today ranging from 35 in northwest Illinois and Indiana to the mid-50s in southern Illinois. Look for a 41-degree high today in Champaign-Urbana. Partly cloudy tonight in Champaign-Urbana with a low of 29 degrees. Lows across the two states ranging from 25 north to the low 40s in the south. For tomorrow, in the north, mostly cloudy with a few showers possible for northwest Illinois. Partly cloudy in the central sections and the southern sections. And temperatures will be in the north close to 40 degrees, near 60 in the far south, 45 in Champaign-Urbana under a cloudy sky for tomorrow. Cloudy and warm tomorrow night with a low of 38. Then for tomorrow, clouds and a few showers moving in again, the high 46. And rain on Sunday likely changing over to snow with a high early on of 35 and then falling temperatures. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, December 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.